Hello everyone. In this session, we will be looking at the agrochemical industry in India, and we will also be comparing our performance along with the entire world. Globally, India is the fourth largest producer of agrochemicals and the second largest producer of pesticides in Asia. The agrochemical industry in our country is significant for the growth of the Indian economy. The Indian pesticide industry basically comprises of multinational companies or MNCs, Indian companies, and public sector firms. All these companies are engaged in manufacturing of technical grade pesticides, formulation areas, and manufacture or rather marketing of finished products. India's agrochemical consumption is one of the lowest in the world. We are just at 0.48 kilograms per hectare in comparison to 3.5 to 4.5 kilograms per hectare in US and almost 10.7 kilograms per hectare in Japan. Considering that India's population is increasing and our land availability is decreasing by the day, the consumption of pesticides is supposed to improve. However, the reality is something different. There are various factors that actually impact our consumption of pesticides. We will be looking at a few of them in the subsequent slides. Now, let us try to figure out again, let's do a small recap on the various types of pesticides that we saw in the previous session. So obviously there are insecticides for insects, fungicides for funguses, herbicides for weeds. There are certain biopesticides which are naturally available, which are less harmful to the ecosystem, the crop, the soil, and the people around. There are fumigants, which are basically chemical pesticides which can be introduced in the form of fumes on the field. And there are several other form of pesticides which also can become a plant growth regulator or an egg sterilizer and things like that. Now, insecticides in specific is probably one of the most consumed agrochemical in India. They are basically used to ward off or kill insects. Consumption of pesticides for cotton has come down from 50% to 63% because of BT cotton. Now, in the previous sessions where we were talking about fertilizing the soil, where we were talking about increasing the yield, we definitely saw that BT cotton was playing an important role. However, when it comes to consumption of agrochemicals, specifically insecticide, which was used very rampantly for the cotton crop to battle the cotton bollworm, BT cotton has actually resulted in the negative consumption of insecticides for that. There was a time when 63% of the total volume of pesticides that were consumed in India was for cotton, but it has now reduced to almost 50%, and it is reducing by the day thanks to BT cotton. Fungicides, on the other hand, are used to control fungal attacks on crops. Horticulture industry in India is growing, and with the growth of horticulture, the crops basically in horticulture are very much susceptible to fungal attacks. And because of this particular issue, the consumption of fungicides in this country has increased. The market share of fungicides in comparison to the insecticides has been growing, and it has increased from merely 16% in 2004 to 20% in 2009, and it keeps increasing every year. Herbicides, which are basically used for killing of weeds on the field, are kind of the fastest growing segment in the agrochemical sector. Their main competition is in the form of cheap labor, which is employed manually to pull out weeds. The traditional method of weeding is to manually pull out weeds. However, the introduction of herbicides have now led to eliminating cheap labor or extra labor cost and simply implementing this particular type of insecticide or pesticide or other in the specific type of herbicide on the field to ensure that the manual labor cost is taken care of. At the same time, the weeds are also taken care of. Now, the sales of herbicides basically are affected because of the seasonality of our agricultural practice. The seasonal factors such as damp conditions or warm weather or cold spells are a problem that impacts the sale of herbicides. Weeds basically flourish in damp and warm weather conditions, and the moment the winter hits, weeds die off because they cannot deal with harsh cold weathers. And hence the herbicide sales kind of keep fluctuating depending on the seasonality in the country. Biopesticides, like we've seen in the previous sessions, biopesticides is the new entrant into this market, where we are looking at natural substances that come out of animals and plants which can be used for controlling pesticides on the field. Currently, this is a very small segment. A very small segment of biopesticides in the market is available, and they're expected to grow in the future because there is a increase in favor from the government end. There is increasing awareness about doing non-toxic methods of pest management, and we are also now looking at environmentally friendly measures to take care of pests. Now, the growing pest problems in this country. In the pest management session, we saw how much damage various pests are causing to the crops in the country. Cultivated crops are damaged by several species of insects, weeds, fungi, bacteria, viruses, and several other forms of pests. Modern cultivation practices, wherein we are looking at hybrid variety of plants or hybrid variety crops, have not actually impacted the attack of pests. It has actually grown in numbers because of the new hybrid varieties that are coming up. Also, another problem is the rapid mutation and evolution in terms of generating some form of immunity to pesticides that is also creating a growing pest problem in our country. Now, what are the various types of pests that are commonly infecting the Indian farmers? So, when it comes to insects, we have paddy stem borers, we have leaf rollers, we have the cotton bollworms, which we just discussed about in the previous slides. We have vegetable shoot and fruit borers. So, these are specific insects that affect specific crops. There are fungal diseases also. For example, there is something called as a paddy blast or a grape mildew, or a chili dieback and things like that. So these are all, or there is something called as a coffee rust. So coffee seeds can actually suffer, or coffee fruit can actually suffer from this particular type, which impacts the quality of coffee that comes out of it. Weeds are one of the most common problems across our country. And the phalaris in wheat is one of the major weed types that we find in Indian farms. Viruses affect crops like banana, chilies, tomato leaf curl, tomato, which occurs in the form of a leaf curl in tomatoes. I have spoken about the virus infestation on the Maharashtra-Gujarat border area and how they were tackled in my previous session. Now, let us look at the pesticide consumption of various countries and let's compare that with India. Like I said in the beginning of the lecture, the topmost pesticide consuming countries in the world are Taiwan, Japan, Europe, and USA. If you look at the numbers, Taiwan is currently standing on the top with 17 kilo per hectare consumption. Japan is almost 11 kilos per hectare. Europe is somewhere around 2.5 to 3 kgs. USA is at 3.5 to 4. But when we look at India, we are at 0.48 kilograms per hectare. Now, should we say this is a good sign or a bad sign? It is still too early to decide. The biopesticides, or rather the integrated pest management system, is still being put into place. We are not completely in the adoption process of this particular pest management system. And hence, there is a lower uptake of pesticides. Even today, there are several pockets in this country where people rely on the conventional, age-old, traditional methods of pest management. It is also because of this reason that our consumption of pesticides or agrochemicals in the country is not that great. Now, the status of agrochemical industry in India. Now, we looked at how we are faring against the world. We looked at what our consumption patterns are. So, what exactly does it mean for the agrochemical industry in the country? In India, there are currently roughly 125 technical grade manufacturers, including 10 multinational companies. There are 800 formulators which create various formulations of pesticides, and there are over 1,45,000 distributors. So the network is in place. Then still, our consumption is not up to the mark. There are 60 technical grade pesticides that are being manufactured indigenously in this country. We are not completely relying on foreign technology and foreign knowledge. We have indigenously designed more than 60 technical grade pesticides in this country. The technical grade manufacturers basically sell high purity chemicals to bulk in bulk to the formulators, who prepare the formulations by adding certain inert carriers or solvents or surface active agents and things like that. They may also add a few deodorants to ensure that the overpowering smell of the base chemical does not create problem for the handlers. Now, these formulations are basically then packed and sent off to various distributors or retailers, and it is finally bought by the farmers. So the entire flow of the product, or rather the entire manufacturing of the product, starts from the technical grade manufacturers who will make the pure chemicals that are being used for pesticides. From them, the formulators will buy these chemicals in bulk. They will add a few additional chemicals or molecules into this specifically pure chemical to make it usable, to make it usable by the last mile farmer. That is then packed and sent into the market. Now, India is basically is a net exporter of pesticides to USA and some other European and African countries. This is basically a very good success for us, because the cost of manufacturing of pesticides in our country is low. The agrochemical market is basically characterized by low capacity utilization of only 58%. So we have the manufacturing capacity to go beyond, but we are only utilizing 58% of our total manufacturing capabilities. The industry suffers from high inventory owing to seasonal and irregular demands. Like I said, there are our entire agricultural industry is dependent on rainy season. We cannot have agricultural activity throughout the year. There are certain farmers who may utilize both seasons of Kharif and Rabi, but there are certain pockets in the country, or there are at times several pockets within the seasons where farmers do not actually have anything to do. There is no crop on the field. And in such conditions, the sale of agrochemicals gets dropped. And that is precisely why our manufacturing capabilities are also underutilized. Now, from a standpoint of business and how have we grown since the early 1960s, when the Green Revolution began. When the Green Revolution was at its peak in the 1960s, we were a 200 crore market when it came to the agrochemical industries. Today, roughly by the year 2010-11, we have reached 6,000 crores. Now, this is obviously a giant leap when it comes to the growth within our country. Out of these 6,000 crores, we can attribute roughly 3,000 crores, that is 50%, to exports of agrochemicals. However, if we compare ourselves with the world market for agrochemicals, which stands at 1,25,000 crores, we come to only close to 2.5% of the world market. So in spite of the various growth in the agrochemical segment, we are not a major contributor to the agrochemical market of the world. Now, this is basically a chart which shows the global crop protection market growth by region-wise. So we have various regions like NAFTA, Latin America, Asia, Europe, Middle East, and so on. If you look at it, the overall agrochemical market around the world has dropped by 2.5%. This also comes from the fact that not every country is completely focused on agriculture. There are other industries which are ensuring growth of their GDP. But one of the major factors is that people are now becoming ecologically aware and want to do a lot of environmental friendly activities. Because of that, the agrochemical markets is suffering a setback, because we are now moving more towards organic farming and organic methods of agriculture. If we look at individually, Asia itself has suffered a loss of 4.1%, and the NAFTA region has suffered a loss of 5.3%. So yes, we are facing some crunch when it comes to the agrochemical market, But what we also need to understand is that just because we are not growing, just because the growth is kind of decelerating, does it actually mean that the agrochemical industry has to shut shop, or rather it has to slow down its production? I would say that the opportunity here lies in innovating. How much can the agrochemical industry or the crop protection market innovate itself and become more eco-friendly? Can it become more closer to the trends that are being followed in the market today? Now, let us look at the market size of the Indian pesticide industry. Currently, the Indian pesticide industry is manufacturing 248,808 metric ton of pesticides. We are ranked second in the Asian continent, just behind China, and globally we stand at the 12th position. Now, let us look at the growth of individual pesticide categories in the country. The most growth that we have seen is of 18% in the fungicide category, followed by herbicides, which is at 17%, and insecticides have grown by 13%. Though our consumption patterns show that insecticides are more consumed in the country, the fungicides are increasing in production, or the growth of fungicides is high because of the horticulture investment in the country. Our agricultural sector has slowly started moving, or slowly started opening up to horticulture and horticultural practices, and fungus being one of the major pests for horticulture, fungicides have started seeing an increase in demand. So, what are the crop yields of various countries? If we look at it in comparison to US, we always say that paddy or rice is one of our major products along with wheat. Now, let us compare the crop yield of various countries. If we look at this table very clearly, our crop yields are matching more or less with Pakistan, which is a smaller country geographically compared to ours. We are roughly around 30.8 in comparison to US, which is at 70.37. China is at 62.34. Now, obviously, there is always a possibility that the geographical area of both these countries support the growth of crop yields in their country. However, if we look at Japan, which is obviously a rice-consuming country, and it is a very small country geographically, in comparison with India, but their output of rice is 67.02, which is more than double of what we are doing in this country. So something tells us that though we have a lot of demand for food, we are talking about food security, but somehow the crop yields are not that great, and pests are one of the key reasons why we are unable to put through more yield in various crops. Now, this table basically tells you the same thing that I've been telling you in the previous slides, that insecticides are probably the most consumed, and it still keeps growing. We have seen some growth in consumption when it comes to the overall pesticide category, which you can see from the last bar here. But if you look at the overall comparison of products, we have been focusing a lot on insecticides, and the others are just growing at a very slow pace, or they are just growing in a very minuscule manner when it comes to a comparison with the insecticide segment. This is also because insects impact our crops at a larger scale. We are into we Our major crops today are cereals, pulses, lentils. These crops are impacted by insects more than any other form of pest, and hence our focus of insecticides is much, much higher. Now, the Indian agrochemical market, when it comes to looking at state-wise consumption, how much pesticides are consumed by each state, the top three states of Andhra Pradesh, Punjab, and Karnataka alone consumes 44% of the total pesticides or agrochemicals that are produced in this country. Just these three states are almost 50% of the entire market share, which basically means that the other states where there is a predominance of agriculture is not necessarily using the agrochemical segment to a large extent to increase their yield, or rather protect their agricultural crops. Orissa is also an agrarian state. It has a lot of focus on agriculture. However, it does not even feature in this list. It is somewhere in the others, which are only consuming 15%. So there are several states where awareness of agrochemicals needs to be increased, we cannot just rely on three states consuming a major portion of our agrochemical produce and the other states not using the facilities available to ensure better crop yield. Now, the business environment of pesticide industry in India, we have to actually identify what kind of the business environment are we operating in. Is it conducive enough for the Indian farmer to get more into the agrochemical consumption? We have a large manufacturing base. I think we saw it in the previous slide that we are currently at a capacity utilization of only 58%. We have roughly 42% which can still be utilized. We can still produce a lot of pesticides or agrochemicals. We still have a lot of capabilities in terms of exporting these agrochemicals to various countries if we follow the norms and regulations that these countries require. We have a weak product portfolio. We are still relying on very few molecules when it comes to pesticides. The research for new pesticides is not a major focus area for the agrochemical industry as of now. Otherwise, we would have come up with a lot more different types of molecules for controlling pests and managing pests in the agricultural sector. Another factor that impacts us is obviously the unpredictability in demand. We are a monsoon dependent agricultural sector. And because of that, the demand increases somewhere between July to October and it just falls after that. Because cold climates do not necessarily support insects or pests on the field. And hence, farmers do not actually go for any form of pest management during winters. Summers, most of the time, because of a lot of drought conditions in several states, farmers do not actually have anything to plant on their fields. Because of this unpredictability, whether it is because of the weather conditions, whether it is because of the economical conditions, whether it is because of infrastructure conditions, the unpredictability in demand is actually impacting the agrochemical or the pesticide industry in this country to a very, very large extent. Currently, our government has focused a lot on exporting agrochemicals. Like we saw that the manufacturing capacity that we hold is pretty large. Exporting of agrochemicals is a very good possibility to earn a lot of financial resources, improvise our agrochemical industry to a very different level. Quality standards is also an important portion for the business environment, because today we are looking at a lot of eco-friendly and environment-friendly consumerism. Slowly and steadily, organic farming is also coming to shore. So people are now looking at extremely stringent quality standards when it comes to utilizing of pesticides in the country. There is increasing awareness because of a lot of marketing and distribution activities that are happening at the grassroots level. However, the awareness is not as much. I think if you ask a very candid question, would be that the problem is not awareness, but it is more of acceptance. Though the marketing and distribution activities at the grassroots level are creating awareness, the major impact here would happen when they can adopt the product safely, when they understand the usage of the product, and the consumerism towards this product increases. Another major factor of this particular industry is that there is no entry barrier. There are a lot of new entrants who can enter with very low volumes of pesticides and actually create a business. All they have to do is register their product with the government, gain license, and start selling. The technological requirement is also pretty low because there are no major, it is a chemical formulation. There are several chemicals that are mixed together, packed, labeled, and sold off. So a lot of technological requirements are not put in place for this particular industry since it is dealing majorly with chemicals. Yes, technology in terms of safety is very, very important for this industry. Rural communications are also developing rapidly. So when we are talking about awareness, like I said just now, the communication patterns are increasing. We are able to effectively communicate with the rural masses of the country today, barring a few pockets in the country where the electricity or internet connectivity or telephone connectivity is not that great. But apart from that, a major section of the rural India has now got exposed to various products, now has got exposed to various agricultural innovations. Because of this, the awareness definitely has increased. But as I said before, I reiterate that the problem is not awareness, but acceptance of pesticides. So what are the various strengths that we pose as an Indian agrochemical industry? First of all, we have many global players and we have the scientific research and development capability to formulate new molecules and improvise this, or rather take this industry to the next level. International companies are now getting aware of India's manufacturing competence and they are looking forward, or rather approaching us, for greater exports of agrochemicals to their countries. The country is currently flexible in when it comes to production plants and they help in producing multiple varieties of pesticides. The country is currently also having an ability to develop and manufacture new eco-friendly formulations. There are a couple of eco-friendly formulations that have come up in the market. Obviously, with the foreign R&D presence in our country, we will be able to develop more eco-friendly formulations, and that will help us both in terms of consumption of Indian agrochemical products within the country, as well as exporting these products to various places. So, what drives the growth? What is the driving factor for Indian agrochemical industry? Or rather, what can drive the growth for Indian agrochemical industry? The obvious first response would be demand of food grains. Our population is not decreasing. Our land availability is not increasing. So per hectare yield of every product or every crop needs to go high because there is always a demand for food grains in the country. There is also a growth of horticulture and floriculture related activities in the country. We have now seen several individuals in various pockets of the country engaging in horticultural activities. We have seen various different farming techniques like aquaponics coming into picture. Because of all of this, there are several requirements of agrochemicals at various positions or at various sections of the agricultural sector. And again, the increasing awareness of various products available in the market may drive the usage and consumption of agrochemicals in our country. Obviously, there are growth drivers, there will always be challenges. First of all, the challenge is the high research and development cost. Yes, we have presence of international companies which come up with a lot of R&D capabilities, but that is not necessarily reducing the cost of research and development. There is always a threat from genetically modified seeds. We are currently looking at the only genetically modified crop that is currently in India is cotton. But there is no saying that in the near future there will be some other product that will come out. Maybe a genetically modified tomato and brinjal can actually impact fungicide market to a large extent because it will change the face of horticulture forever. There is also a need for efficient distribution system. Are we in complete control of the pesticide distribution in this country? If we were, we would have been at a better consumption rate and people would be harming themselves much lesser because they would be aware what the product is all about. The support for integrated pest management system is also on the rise along with organic farming. This also is proving to be a challenge. But like I said before, this does not mean that the agrochemical industry will fall short or it has to stop altogether. What it now needs to focus on is eco-friendly varieties and eco-friendly formulations that will create the least impact on the ecosystem, that will not affect the other flora and fauna, and can give a targeted approach towards pest management. One of the biggest challenges that Indian agricultural sector faces, whether it is the pesticide or the fertilizer or the seed, are the spurious or counterfeit products that come into the market. It is not only the agricultural sector, but if you look at any other sector when it comes to even FMCG, a simple visit to a rural market, we can figure out that there are so many Me Too or counterfeit brands of several FMCG products that are available. If products like that can be easily available in the rural markets, it won't be a surprise that pesticides and fertilizers or seeds can be counterfeited and sold in these markets. Controlling these counterfeits and spurious products is an important challenge. It's rather a humongous challenge for the Indian government. The industry is currently lacking the support and patronage that it is supposed to get from the central and state government. Though we have a lot of support coming in from the state and central governments for a chemical like fertilizers, pesticides are not necessarily getting that same kind of attention. Plus, there is a lot of financial instability in the agrarian economy, in the agricultural industry, which is also impacting the sales of Indian agrochemical products. Another important challenge that we need to look at are the indigenous methods that are being followed. There are several farmers who are still looking at traditional methods of managing pests, and that is also impacting the Indian agrochemical sector. So, what are the business opportunities in this area? First of all, obviously, since we have a lot of capacity utilization left, we have a lot of demand that can be created by awareness and acceptance of the product. The scope of consumption and usage is always there for an increase at an incremental pace. If we do it right, the consumption of agrochemicals in the country will increase. We obviously also have a high export potential because the manufacturing cost for us is pretty low. The export procedures for import and export of agrochemicals are pretty relaxed. Then there is a patent expiry. Product portfolio expansion is also another key area in business opportunity. Since we are looking at very few molecules and they are almost about, their patent is almost about to come to an expiration stage, there are many companies which can actually utilize a patented formula to create more efficient for pesticides. Also, like we saw in the previous slides, we have very few molecules that are being used. Though research and development activities are happening, but successes in this area is very low. And hence, there is always an opportunity for us to expand the product portfolio, specifically in the Indian agrochemical sector. Now, let us look at how pesticides are being marketed in this country. First of all, the consumption of any type of pesticides is very, very closely linked to the type of crops, to the climatic conditions, to the incidence, the number of incidents of pests, how many times does diseases affect the crops, and what are the output prices? What pricing, how is it priced, how is the product price, and can the farmer afford to purchase these products? There are two major kharif crops in India which consume almost 50% of the fertilizers produced in the country. They are cotton and paddy. Only these two crops consume 50% of the total pesticide manufactured, which basically tells us that there is so much pending potential in the various other sectors of Indian agriculture. In recent years, with the introduction of BT cotton and similar other varieties or various hybrid varieties, there are certain crops that have come out to be immune to certain pests. This has led to decrease in the consumption. The peak season for consumption of pesticides falls somewhere between July to October, because that is when the monsoon almost starts somewhere in July, or rather it reaches its peak in July, continues up to September and slowly fades off in October. Pesticide companies in India, we have several multinational Indian and even public sector firms in the country. The multinational companies, some of the major multinational companies that we can see in this in our country are basically Bayer, Monsanto, DuPont, Dow and Syngenta. Where as far as Indian companies are concerned, we have bigger names like Excel, Hyderabad Chemicals and Indofil. From the public sector perspective, we have Hindustan Pesticides Insecticides Limited and the state level agro industries corporations in various states that give out or rather manufacture pesticides of various formulations to the farmers. So what are the various products? The major products from three major categories that are being sold in the country, which are insecticides, fungicides and weedicides or herbicides. In insecticides, we have Acara, Curacron, Thiodan and products like that. In fungicides, we have Bevastin, Contaf, Ridomil. These are some of the major brands that are available in the rural markets that are being consumed. When it comes to herbicides, we have Rifit, Leader, Topic, and similar brands that come out. Now, whenever we look at the branding of these products, we also need to understand that the spurious products can be segregated from a normal product depending on the labeling that we see on the product. Because a branded product needs to give out a lot more details on their labels, which not necessarily a spurious or a counterfeit product manufacturer can do. Pricing in pesticides as opposed to the fertilizer market, the pricing of pesticides is not controlled by the government. The manufacturers are free to fix prices as per their return on investment requirements. Since the business is highly seasonal and it is very competitive because of the various manufacturers in the business, companies offer a lot of attractive schemes so that they can achieve their annual targets. And because of this, there is a lot of competitive pricing in the market. So unlike fertilizers, pesticides have a lot of aggressive competitive pricing going on because the consumption is not that high. How do we distribute pesticides? There are various ways of reaching out to the farmers. Sometimes there are depots set up in the mandis or village haats and similar such market setups. There are also other methodologies of reaching out to the grassroots level farmer, either through a carrying and forwarding agent, from the carrying and forwarding agent to a distributor, then to a retailer and a farmer. At times, there are certain companies which will identify a preferred dealer. Now, these preferred dealers are identified by these manufacturers because they hold some form of influence on the local markets. Or rather, they hold some form of good practices. They follow some form of good practices that ensure that the product reaches to the farmer in the right manner. Promotions, obviously, there are multifarious promotions that can take place for pesticide marketing. There are printed materials, there is TV, radio, regional newspaper ads. One of the major impact creating marketing activities in the rural area is the wall painting. A simple visit to any rural area in the country will reveal various spaces where walls of maybe the Gram Panchayat building or walls of a hospital being painted for a specific product. This is a very impactful advertising campaign as far as the rural population is concerned. Then there are bus boards, tree boards, specific rural media, maybe a solar light with a branding on it. All of these different types of promotions are used for pesticide marketing. One of the interactive forms of marketing is also used in the pesticide promotions. So they basically look at, there are company representatives that move into the rural areas. They give a field demo. They discuss with farmers. They get influencers into the picture. They get progressive farmers to talk about the products. And they at times even do some form of screening of certain films in the cinema halls with the ads of the company. There is a company based out of Delhi called UFO, which basically runs free movie shows in rural areas. And companies can tie up with UFO to, you know, send out a van, a mobile van, which has a projector screen. A particular movie is shown. There are two or three shows in a village or nearby villages where a particular movie is shown, and the entire van is branded with that particular brand or the company with whom UFO has tied up for a specific period. Now, these kind of methodologies can also be used in the rural areas, and it is proven to be a lot more impactful. Now, what are the future trends for us? How does the future for the pesticide industry look like? First of all, increasing awareness for protection of the environment has come up. So, developing products which are environment friendly is of prime importance today. Going forward, pesticide manufacturers can actually focus on coming out with formulations that are more eco-friendly and more targeted towards the specific pest that they are looking to manage. Commercial agriculture, horticulture, and organized retail outlets will also impact the pesticide marketing process. Herbicides markets are on the expansion due to shortage of labor. Today, we do not have a lot of people in the villages who can spend money to have laborers to weed out the field, and hence herbicides are coming into picture. Since horticulture is growing, fungicide requirement is growing, and in the near future we will see a growth in the fungicide market for the country. There are new products that are being developed, new patents coming out in the market. Obviously, the pace at which it is coming is pretty slow, but nevertheless, there are new products coming in. So the future has a lot of potential, provided there is specific action taken by all the stakeholders in the market, including the government, the manufacturers, the end user, farmers. All of them have a very key role to ensure that the agrochemical market increases in size and number. So, are there any specific challenges faced when it comes to pesticide industry exports? Yes, there are various challenges. The regulatory norms are becoming stringent. The Indian patent regime has changed completely. Before 2005, we had a process patent regime under which the companies could reverse engineer and, you know, they could do patent on applied research. However, that has changed since 2005, and getting a patent is becoming a tedious process for them. Now, R&D expenses earlier were pretty low, but the current patent regime is ensuring that, or rather it is making companies spend a lot more on R&D. Now, opportunities will arise as MNCs come in with better R&D technology and R&D expertise. There is a possibility that MNCs can innovate better in India in compared to their own home countries. Now, let us look at a few charts in the coming slides. We will see how agrochemical companies are doing globally. Obviously, the number one company in the world as far as agrochemical is concerned is Bayer, followed by Syngenta. Dow is on the fourth position, and the fifth position is occupied by Monsanto, followed by DuPont. These are some of the major companies that are also present in India. So we do have some of the biggest players in the agrochemical sector present in our country, and we can actually utilize their expertise to move forward. Now, let us look at the annual sales of some of these companies that we mentioned right now in India. So are we utilizing them to the fullest capacity? Let us see. Bayer currently in 2016 only looked at 715 crores. We can do a lot more than that for a sixth industry. Dow and DuPont are somewhere around roughly 250 to 300 crores. Then we have Monsanto, which has not made much of an impact in this country. So we do have MNCs, but we are not utilizing them as much as we are supposed to utilize them. Now, let us look at a few banned chemicals. Okay, there are certain pesticides which are completely banned. There are many. There is benzene hexachloride and calcium cyanide and many more like that. Obviously, the banning is from manufacture, import and use. So there are bans at various levels. So sometimes you can use a particular pesticide in the country, but you cannot import it. There are several pesticides which cannot be imported and used, but you can manufacture and export it. So depending on the type of ban issued by the government organizations, there is a list that comes in. You will remember endosulfan that I have been talking about, which was used in Kerala and which created genetic problems. This was banned in an order that started. There was a petition that was raised in 2011. It took roughly 8 years for this particular chemical to get banned in our country. There are other similar chemicals like sodium cyanide was also at one point in time being used, but there is a ban from insecticidal purpose only. Sodium cyanide can be used for other purposes, but as far as an insecticide usage is concerned, sodium cyanide is banned in our country. There are certain formulations that are also banned from import and use. There is a carbofuran, there is methanamyl, there is phosphamidone and things like that. There are certain pesticides, like I said, there are formulations which are banned for use, but they can be manufactured and exported. So two of them are captopril and nicotine sulfate. So they cannot be used in our country, but we can manufacture them and export them to various other countries. There are certain pesticides that have been withdrawn. Withdrawn in the sense that their registration has been withdrawn, and as and when they provide the necessary data to the government, they can be re-registered into the system. So there are these top eight like Dalapon and Formothion and chemicals like that. Then there are certain pesticides which were refused registration because of certain conditions that they did not come up with. So there are roughly 18 such pesticides that were refused registration by the Indian authorities. Pesticides that are restricted. So we can use them, but in a very, very limited quantity. So one of the most famous pesticides that you can see on this list is dichlorodiphenyltrichloroethane, which is commonly known as DDT. So though DDT is used, its consumption is, its awareness and its consumption is pretty high in the country, but usage is extremely restricted because the side effect of this chemical is pretty harmful. Thank you so much.